You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. Daniel already on social media saying, hey everyone, happy Tuesday. Well, back at you, Daniel.
It's Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
It is Thursday.
It is Thursday. It says Thursday.
Daniel wrote Thursday. You read Tuesday. You want
show.
Extra days this week.
I do
Jamie
not.
Jamie wants two extra days.
I do
days
not. I'm
programs.
Ready for a weekend. I'm sorry. It is Tuesday. Hey, at least I got the right tea day. That's like I did that part. I did my job there.
But you missed the blend. I used to teach phonics.
Yes.
TH.
Thursday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and I will not have the days besmirched.
You know what day it is.
Well, barely, only because I have like six calendars in front of me.
There you go.
We have a big day today, as we always do. So let's get to it, because this is the first thing we're going to talk to you about. And you can always jump in, friends. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because this could be one of the craziest stories I've heard. And that's saying a lot for this administration. Yesterday, if you were not aware, if you weren't flying into El Paso for some reason, when we came on the air, there was a shutdown, a ground stop at the El Paso airport for security reasons, in quotes. It was supposed to be an air stop until next Friday. By the time we got off the air, they had taken the ground stop off and everybody was flying into and out of El Paso because, I don't know if you've ever been to El Paso, Jamie, it's a vacation destination.
Oh, I've been to El Paso as a pass-through, and that was about enough for me. Definitely a lot to do.
It's a good place to pass through,
yeah.
Unless you like green chilies. Then if you love green chilies, that's the place to go. But the Pentagon yesterday, reasons started coming out about why there was this security ground stop. The Pentagon used high-energy counter-drone lasers. They did not coordinate with the FAA. And the fun thing was, they weren't shooting down drones.
No.
Somebody had run down to Walmart or Party City and gotten some Mylar balloons. So Pete Hegseth at his Department of Dumb Fence they were shooting balloons out of the air with a drone, not telling anybody, or with a laser, rather, stopped all the air traffic in and out of El Paso.
Well, then, not only are they just shooting down Mylar balloons, they blamed it all on the Mexican cartel. That it was the Mexican cartel that had sent these drones.
Jamie, I don't know if you know anything about drug smuggling. I've had a dark past. We used to send Mylar balloons full of fentanyl over the border because it was like, oh, look, a child's birthday party. Well, we got rid of all the Venezuelan fentanyl.
Oh.
That disappeared. Now we've got Juarezian fentanyl.
I mean, I didn't even know what day of the week it was. So silly me.
That's
how would
true.
I keep Let all me, my facts straight?
I am nothing if not a fact vault. I keep all the facts. This couldn't have been more ridiculous.
No. And the FAA had to issue a temporary flight restriction around the El Paso International Airport. All flights were grounded up to 18,000 feet. What I think is interesting about this is not an airport that sees very little traffic, right? Because pilots and air traffic control were notified only 30 to 60 minutes before, and about 3.5 million passengers annually go through the El Paso airport. It's about 100 daily flights.
Yeah, and you've got Fort Bliss and Fort Biggs, Biggs Army Airfield right there, too. It's a big military area.
Right. Yes. And the FAA and the Pentagon had been scheduled to review some potential safety impacts of the laser on February 20th. Obviously, the military accelerated its use near El Paso. I just feel like somebody got too excited.
Pete's in his office going, let's use a laser, bro. Let's get out there, man. We got the laser. I gotta use a laser. All right, Space Cowboy, relax. Slow your roll, Pete. You don't have to laser. I mean, I gotta be honest. If I had a laser just sitting around the house, I'd want to blast something with it. But I don't know. I'd probably take it out to the woods. There's a lot of desert around El Paso.
Right.
You can go and just blast things. pull a Gallagher. Go to the store, sure, buy a bunch of watermelons, and then start laser blasting watermelons, right, in the middle of the desert. That would be so cool. And then your stupidity is kind of hidden from the rest of us, even though we know it's there.
Well, I know, but they like to put their stupidity full force in front of all of us for all of us to partake in and enjoy and then have these exact conversations. So the initial FAA notice actually classified the area as National Defense Airspace and warned pilots that any violation could lead to interception, questioning, suspension of certifications, criminal charges, or deadly force. Now, local officials were not notified about this. The El Paso mayor and congressional representatives had no idea that this was going to happen, that there was going to be sort of any sort of airspace closure. Now, drone incursions along the like, I can't even get through the story. It's so ridiculous.
I just picture them sucking the helium out of some of the balloons and interrogating people this way. Yeah. Why are you flagging this area? That's not where you're about. You know, there's a ground stop. Pete, hit him with the laser again.
I mean, was it a Dora the Explorer balloon? Is that because that would at least make some sense with this administration? That would at least make a lot of sense. Well, drone incursions along the U.S.-Mexico border are frequent. There's over 1,000 reported monthly, at least back in 2024. That typically doesn't include airport shutdowns. The closure was solely an FAA decision and left local officials completely in the dark. And so as much as we laugh about this, it was a serious problem in El Paso yesterday for a party balloon, people.
Well, if you listen to Sean Duffy, who you know from Road War Rules, that's how I know him. I don't recognize his
World Lumberjack champion.
Yes, he is Secretary of Transportation. He said the threat had been neutralized. That's what I say every time I'm at a kid's birthday party and the balloons pop. The threat has been neutralized.
Or it gets caught in a tree branch when it gets away. It's all over. The thing's deflated. I don't know what to tell you.
Meanwhile, dolphins everywhere are panicked because they're going to get stuck in their blowholes.
Feels this like is... a name of a band, stuck in your blowhole.
Again, not a euphemism. I don't understand how we can, well, you know, it's easy for us to laugh because it's really dumb.
Yeah.
And it thankfully was just an inconvenience. Yes. It didn't lead to something more. But the fact that the FAA and the Department of Defense and the Department of Transportation are not talking to local leaders about this, and they're putting... That's when you do start putting people in danger and you put them in harm's way. And this is just, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
And just so you can play with your laser.
And I think we have to, I mean, obviously, if you've watched some of the things this administration has done, there's been, you know, a lack of confidence in their competence. But people were stuck. Flights were canceled. The local community had absolutely no warning. And so this is really hard not to see this as some sort of PR moment gone completely wrong. I kind of feel like maybe they were hoping it was something so that they could feel like heroes coming in on their white horses to intercept some sort of threat. Instead, they ended up shooting down party balloons and creating all this unnecessary panic for people at the airport who were just trying to get from one place to another and local officials in the dark.
And they framed it as a serious security situation.
Yes.
So you're building this up, but this is this whole administration. We're both old enough to have been through a number of administrations. Most of my life, you didn't really hear from a Secretary of Transportation unless there was, you know, a major railroad derailment or something like that. These people cannot get enough of the cameras and putting themselves out there and they don't do it well because they always come off looking like goofballs,
right,
but they love to be in front of the camera. It's an attention-based administration, and that stems from the top. He has to be the center of everything, and so do these guys.
Yeah.
So does everybody in this administration.
Right.
Is so hungry. Do you wonder if we would have not be in this position as a country if some of these people had just gotten hugs?
Yes.
As children.
Yes.
And a little more, you know, not just participation kind of praise, but actual praise. Like
yes.
if Pam Bondi's dad had said, you know what, I'm proud of you, Pam. Good for you.
well,
none of what we're going to talk about next would be happening.
No.
You know, if Pete Hegseth, you know, had been hazed just a little harder at the frat.
Right.
And they had then given him a hug and said, "Bruh, you're one of us, man. You always got a place. We got your back."
It's all like when Pete Hegseth is an interesting case because this administration is full of people who don't actually have governmental experience, right? Which is why we live in such unprecedented, dangerous times as well. Pete Hegseth was a TV anchor on Fox. I'm not even sure if you can call him an anchor.
Part-time, yeah. Come on. Don't build him up. He wasn't Walter Cronkite.
No, he was not Walter Cronkite. You're absolutely right. So it makes me wonder, you know, so this is what they're used to. A lot of this administration, even when Dan Bongino was there, they're used to being these entertainers, right? And so that's what they do, which is why you saw the dramatic Pentagon speech with all of the, you know, bringing in all of the military leaders, and you saw Pete Hegseth on stage basically like telling them, "I am the man in charge of these things," and
yeah,
making this huge
show,
because that's what they genuinely are. They're entertainers. Even the president of the United States was an entertainer. I mean, the best role he ever had was in Home Alone, and I kind of miss that guy, right?
Home Alone like, 2.
I miss that guy. I was fine with that guy.
Do you? I don't miss that guy.
At least he wasn't on my TV every single day uprooting the lives of millions of people and basically terrorizing the world. I take that back.
You know why I would miss that guy? Because I didn't know anything about him. I knew he was some guy from New York.
It was even before the Apprentice days when he got so much popularity and notoriety for telling people they were fired, which, by the way, we should have known what kind of person he was by taking that much pleasure in watching people get fired.
Before we move on, just a real quick update on the Nancy Guthrie thing. They've gotten 18,000 tips, investigators say, since
that's a lot to parse through.
That's a lot, and they have to look at all of them, even though some of them, I'm sure, are cranks. But and Harvey Levin, the TMZ guy, another credible media source, Harvey Levin, the man who is chronically dehydrated. He needs that water bottle. I think it's attached to his hand surgically. But he says he got some a new note with the Bitcoin ransom demands, and this case is so puzzling.
Are these kidnappers, because that's essentially what we believe they are at this point, why are they going to Harvey Levin? Why are they going to the local media and giving their ransom? Why aren't they giving it just to the family? I mean, I'm sure that these questions are being asked by law enforcement. I don't know. Cash Patel's in charge, so maybe it's not. I hope the local authorities have a much better grip on this than what I feel like Cash Patel probably has. But
I would say the field agents and the AIC in that area, they're not Cash Patel, so they're the ones really running it. He's the one getting fitted for more camouflage.
Again, back to the gotta be an entertainer kind of thing and get to the podium and speak. But this whole thing is very, 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 it's unsettling. There's so many pieces that aren't making sense. And if you're looking at it as a typical kidnapping case, even former FBI agents who have been speaking on this in public are like, this is not anything we've ever seen. It's very atypical.
It has the vibe, and again, this is just my opinion, that these notes are not coming from kidnappers. I don't believe she was kidnapped. I think something more horrible happened.
Nefarious. Hopefully we get those answers soon. It is 6:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, the Attorney General was in front of Congress yesterday. That went well. We'll talk about it on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
6:22 right now. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We were talking about this crazy story coming out of El Paso, and we're about to talk about a crazy story coming off Capitol Hill.
Freudian slip of the tongue.
Yes. That might work. But anyway, Matt's been hanging on. He wanted to jump in. He's in Middleton. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for what you do. You were talking about the Trump administration led by a reality star that paints his face orange every morning for some reason. Having this all as entertainment, and it made me think of how I grew up in the 80s, and I've watched the growth of entertainment from video games to short form videos like TikTok and all these things, how they've kind of taken over people's minds in a way and so much of their time and their lives. And it makes me think of science fiction stories from the 60s even that describe a future where people's minds are kind of trapped and taken over by information and entertainment created by a ruling class. And that's kind of what it seems to be happening. And these tech billionaires want everyone to just go into this digital world of video and just live there while ignoring the real world outside, while they crash and burn and take over everything and have their wars and all this stuff. It's very 1984 Brave New World stuff.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense.
Do you think there's a way out of that? Can we go back to an analog world where people are working with their hands?
No, having fun, right? Yeah, well,
thank you for the call. Thank you for the call this morning, Matt.
Matt, that was an interesting question, but
Genie's out of the bottle.
The horse is out of the barn. Genie's out of the bottle. The pixels are out of the computer. Everything's out of something. We are entertained, aren't we, Jamie? I was entertained yesterday as I was watching this hearing regarding the Epstein file. Attorney General Pam Bondi, she was in front of the House Judiciary Committee yesterday talking about the ongoing controversies about the Epstein files. Mm. I don't know if you heard, there's a big scandal going on with these Epstein files.
Just a few things.
And there, she was asked about that. She was asked about investigating Donald Trump's political foes and handling fatal shootings of Renee Good and the other gentleman.
Alex Pretty.
Alex Pretty, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's been a few
Alex
days.
Alex Pretty in every day.
Few things have been happening.
But anyway, there was a lot that she was, and she did not handle questioning well. I believe that she is confused about her job.
I think she's doing her job exactly the way she was hired to do her job.
Right, but that's not the job of the Attorney General. The job of the Attorney General is to represent the American people. She is doing a job of a personal attorney, a defense attorney that is only working for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And it came out every time she spoke yesterday.
And I think that was probably, like, if there was a job interview, right, that was probably just it. Do you represent me or do you represent the people? And if you said me, then you were hired, and that's how we got Pam Bondi. I'm pretty sure that's how that went down.
Right, and reports said that she, recently there have been some grumblings from the White House about how fervently she is defending things and going after the perceived political enemies of the administration.
Well, then she earned her paycheck yesterday, because if we want to talk about reality TV, if we want to talk about theater, that's what we got. And things were combative yesterday. Let's be realistic.
To say the least.
At one point, she called Congressman Jamie Raskin, a former constitutional law professor, by the way, a washed up loser lawyer, as the tensions escalated. Let's actually listen to this cut, please, Parker. Wow.
A washed-up loser lawyer. She allegedly is a lawyer, too. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I'm told. That's what I've been told. She did go to college. I actually had to look it up this morning. She did graduate from Stetson Law School. Yep.
Yeehaw.
She also addressed, this was the most troubling part yesterday, because there were Epstein survivors in this hearing. And while they were sitting in this room, she said she was deeply sorry for the abuse that they endured. But at the same time, there were no actions that would have indicated that she was sorry for any of it.
She wouldn't even look at them.
No, no. It was troubling.
And they were literally right behind her.
Yes.
All she had to do was, she didn't even have to turn her body, just her pinhead.
Is that her not caring or her feeling guilty and still carrying on the mission that she was hired to do? That was my question.
I don't... And this is, you know, I know this sounds rude, and I guess, mean it to be. I don't believe she has a conscience for that. If you could look at, from what has been alleged to be in these files, between videos and photographs, if you can look at those and not side 100% with the victims, you don't have a soul. You have sold out. You are clutching on, believing that there will be no consequences down the line. She acts like someone who doesn't think that Donald Trump will ever be out of power,
right,
that she will ever face the consequences of these actions.
Yep.
She acts with 100% perceived impunity. And so, no, I don't think she feels guilty and is just carrying out the mission. I don't believe she cares. And it's evidenced by her body language,
yep,
her speech, the fact that she turned a congressional hearing into
a cut-rate
episode of Real Housewives of Washington, D.C.
Oh, it wasn't even that classy. Let's be real.
That's what I'm saying. Low rent.
And she also has a history of not prosecuting people involved in this Epstein case when she was attorney general in Florida. So keep that in mind, too. 6:29 right now, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, one of our Democratic candidates for governor had a slip at the top. Or did she? We'll talk about it on the Civic Media Network.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. If you're in Appleton and Oshkosh, listening on WISS, or in Eau Claire, listening on 93.5 The Tap, or maybe even in the La Crosse area, listening on WLCX, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking almost 50s by the weekend. That is going to be warm and balmy. I'm excited. It's going to get cold again, though. I'm just trying not to think of that.
Yeah, no, this is fake spring, but we'll take a few days of fake spring after the deep freeze we've been in.
Oh,
I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yeah, I'm looking last night, Monday, it could be 60 outside my door.
We've had some friends who are kind of scattered all over the country, and we have some friends out in Denver, and we had friends visiting Colorado over the weekend for various reasons.
And with all your friends,
65, 70 degrees out there last weekend. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. It was a convention for storm chasing that a lot of them were at, which, yes, does sound as exciting as those words coming out of my mouth could possibly be. We did not attend this year. But we had a lot of our chasers out there, and for a split second, we were like, you know, maybe we should have been out there just for the 70-degree day.
That sounds very appealing. The problem with that, and the problem with what we're going to experience over the next few days, which, listen, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to enjoy them quite a bit.
Then it gets cold again.
And the cold will seem colder.
Yes.
Because we got a taste.
Yes.
Normally, once this late spring and the summer come, you know you have a while before it gets cold. This is the sword of Damocles hanging over your head, because you know the cold is coming back. And you're going to feel it, because you put away your parka for a couple days.
Thinking, this is it. You got your shorts out. You tempted the fates. You tempted Mother Nature.
No,
She's a fickle, fickle one, that Mother Nature. You never tempt her. Never tempt her.
Yes, never tempt her. Hey, Jamie, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think words matter. When you say something, especially if you... I think we have a responsibility. I don't take it as seriously, but we do have a responsibility to choose our words wisely. Politicians, I think, even though present examples would not bear this out, I think they have a responsibility, and they have to realize in this day and age, there's cameras and microphones everywhere.
Yes.
So we had a chance to talk to Democratic gubernatorial candidate and current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez a while ago. She seemed very nice.
She's great.
Well, she made some comments about local law enforcement and how they should honor ICE administrative warrants. And now she's trying to walk those back, saying she misspoke. And
yeah.
This is a topic you can't really misspeak on nowadays.
You can't. And I think it's interesting because when she made those comments, the governor wouldn't really say he agreed, right? Governor Evers
right.
kept very quiet. It was pretty obvious that he maybe didn't feel the same way. And she comes at it from a little bit different perspective. And she talks about this often because her husband is Hispanic. She has been in the healthcare field. And so she has seen what these types of efforts by ICE can do. So she comes at it a little bit differently. But in a recent interview just within the past couple of days, she says that her position is clear. No arrest without a judicial warrant signed by a judge. That is what she is referring to when she talks about all of these ICE actions and the ICE administrative warrants, and that law enforcement should actually be honoring those. Now, it was Kelda Royce and Missy Hughes who actually criticized the lieutenant governor for some of her comments. So those initial comments drew also pushback from some of the other candidates. Hughes and Kelda Royce, probably the two most outspoken. They argue that administrative warrants are not legitimate and should not be honored. So that was their argument against it. And we actually had an expert on to talk about that as well a few weeks ago, Lieutenant Diane Goldstein. And she talked to us as a former officer that there is really no difference. So that is, I think, what Hughes and Kelda Royce are probably referring to as well when it comes to the warrants.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact these administrative warrants, you don't really need any proof. You
no.
can just write them up and show up. And
yeah.
those don't carry the weight that a judicial warrant does.
Right.
And that's why now you're seeing a lot of jurisdictions saying no without. And that's one of the things Democrats are pushing for
right.
on the Hill to try to make as they still battle. We're a week into the 2 weeks for the DHS funding. I'm sure that's coming along swimmingly. We've forgotten all about it because we had a shrieking she monster on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Well, some of this is distraction. Some of that could have been distraction from all of that, too, because they passed the SAVE Act yesterday for voting in the House as well. So,
you don't hear about that.
Yeah, no. See, well,
you
no.
hear about it here. Because,
well, yes. Because I was on top of it, and we're on top of it here at Civic Media, and I was paying attention yesterday, even though Pam Bondi was putting on some sort of theatrical performance to her best ability. Oscar worthy yesterday, maybe, in fact.
Oh, Razzies, at best. At best.
That's better. Yes,
Razzies.
That's better.
But back to this. So, yes, judicial warrants are what you need, and it's...
Yeah.
It's... Boy, I... It's hard to... Except that's not what I meant as an excuse.
Mm.
In this, with this climate, and I put this not just toward Lieutenant
sure.
Governor Rodriguez, I put this toward anybody who's in the public eye, and especially if you're running for office, you have to have your position thought out, enumerated, and be able to say it without any hesitation. This is what I believe, because... The temperature is too high with these issues
right.
to go back. And no matter what you say in your retraction, your initial statement is still out there and will be out there forever. Thanks to our, you know, thanks.
To the thankfully. Interwebs, yes.
Yes, the interwebs and everybody's recording. So it's always out there. You've got to know what you're saying, and you can't keep backpedaling. Doesn't work.
No
flip-flopping.
No. I totally
Jimmy Buffett
agree.
Can flip-flop. Rest in peace. Rest in power.
That's right. Love Jimmy Buffett. No, but I think it's important, you know, and this is a crowded Democratic field, too. So this is not really the time for those types of misspeaks or those types of mistakes, so to speak, from any of the candidates. They're human, so I give them that grace always, but at the same time, this is a very crowded field. But
I can't give that kind of grace when it comes to something as important as
sure.
why you want to be elected and what you believe. We've given grace in one way or another in the past few elections, and that hasn't worked out.
No.
Yes, I understand candidates are human. Sometimes they will misspeak. But when it comes to platforms and planks in your platform, you can't misspeak. You have a responsibility to not misspeak. I don't care if you have to carry cards and people go, what do you need, notes? Yeah, I want to make sure that I've thought this out. I've put a lot of thought and effort into coming up with this plan, and I want to make sure that in a scrum, I don't misspeak or get it wrong.
In this particular case, it was a press release that went out to everybody with the lieutenant governor's thoughts. And so it wasn't even one of those moments where she just got caught up, right? This was a thought out, decisive move by the lieutenant governor. And, I guess going back and saying, well, now I misspoke. Again, crowded primary. Will people forget? Did it fly under the radar? I guess only time will tell as we see how these candidates play out. If you want to get in on the conversation this morning, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a problem with candidates misspeaking in this type of way, or if you think what the lieutenant governor did was not the right way to go about it without having a little bit more backing or a little bit more input, we'd love to hear from you. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. If you're willing to give grace to a candidate when they misspeak on these important issues, any of those topics, not off limits as we talk here this morning.
Now, you mentioned how crowded the field was, and it is a very crowded field.
Yeah.
And all of the candidates have spoken about their stance on ICE and local cooperation and all of that. A lot of similarities in their messages.
Sure.
And so far,
among the Democrats.
Among the Democrats.
Yes. We'll parse that out first and foremost. There are 8 major candidates right now for governor, 7 Democrats and 1 Republican. And they have pretty clear and very different positions on how state and local government should work with federal immigration enforcement.
Let me guess that the one Republican thinks we should kowtow to ICE and immigration.
Well, of course.
Okay.
That is Republican candidate Tom Tiffany.
Oh, he's been endorsed by the president.
Yes, he has. He says at this point he would fully cooperate with federal authorities and argues that ICE must be allowed to enforce immigration laws, especially when dealing with non-citizens who commit crimes. That is his stance right now on ICE and these particular raids. It's very different than the Democratic candidates. In case you haven't heard their stance, I went through and summarized some of the things that they've said, and we're gonna talk about it because I think it's important for people to understand this, especially right now, in this climate, as we get ready to figure out who that main person is going to be leading the Democrats as soon as now that Tony Evers is not running again. Again, 7 Democrats to choose from. Most of the Democratic candidates are calling for stronger limits on ICE operations here in Wisconsin. Several, including Mandela Barnes, Sarah Rodriguez, Missy Hughes, and Kel DeRoy, say arrests should only happen with judicial warrants. And remember, that is because Lieutenant Governor misspoke and then changed her stance. Some want agents to be unmasked. They want them to wear body cameras, and they also want them to avoid making arrests in places like schools, hospitals, and churches. And I think that
none of those things sound outrageous.
No, absolutely not. Francesca Hong and Kel DeRoy's have gone a bit further than Barnes, Rodriguez, Hughes, and Roy's, though. And Kelda's gone a little further than her own viewpoint, saying that they would like ICE to be abolished completely if that was something that could happen. Other Democrats like Joel Brennan and David Crawley say that immigration laws should be enforced, but with accountability and clear limits on how federal agents operate. David Crawley, who is also the county executive in Milwaukee for Milwaukee County, says that he doesn't believe there should be any sort of cooperation agreement between Milwaukee and ICE if ICE were to come to the area. So that's kind of his stance, trying to protect the people of Milwaukee. Now, the issue is obviously a clear dividing line right now in this race, and there are deep differences over the enforcement and how that should play out throughout the state of Wisconsin. But I guess this is a time where you have to make that choice and do a little research on these candidates, because you will be asked to choose the front runner here in a few months. You're going to be asked to go to the polls, and you're going to be asked to vote for the person that you think can lead this state after Tony Evers steps down. And you need to be aware of their stances, and you should educate yourself on what they believe and choose the candidate who mostly aligns with you. Now, what I will say is, even if that candidate doesn't win, also be supportive of the candidate who does, because it's either that or Tom Tiffany cooperating with ICE.
That's pretty much it. There's no perfect candidate. There never is a perfect candidate. Nobody is going to check all your boxes. And Democrats, we have fallen into that trap so many times. Don't let it happen again. And also, you kind of have to think that, okay, some of these stances are much more measured.
Mm-hmm.
Measured stances are still getting you what you want.
Right.
But they're easier to find a compromise. And sometimes a compromise is a win.
In this day and age, a compromise is a win, especially when you're as split as Wisconsin is on multiple things. It is 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, Madison is now marking their police cars. Why? We'll tell you about it on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, good morning. I know what day of the week it is now. It's Thursday, Brian.
Are you sure?
That's what I'm being told. That's what I'm told.
Time, space, continuum. There's a rip in the fabric. It is hard to keep track. I do that a lot. I just, where it's like, what day is today? And I think we all do that. There's so much going on. Everybody's got busy lives. And then we're also expected to monitor the world. And when I say we, I mean everybody. We're all in the same boat. Everybody's got a million things to do with their work and their families. And then it's like, oh, but we have to keep an eye over here because the government that we used to just trust was working in the background and getting things done. We didn't have to, really worry about it too much till it came election time or if there was a big thing and they...
Right.
Now we every day we got to see what's going on.
We live in a loop. That's what we live in. And it's never ending and it's constant. If I didn't say it, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And to quote a play from the 70s, stop the world, I want to get off. There is a dated reference. That was for you, Jamie, and about three other people who were listening. I went, this guy knows some things. None of them are important, but he knows them.
If you want to jump into the conversation this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the Democratic field of candidates and their views on ICE and also Tom Tiffany's view on ICE. And Scott, from listening on WMDX, jumped into the text line saying, I'm seeing Democrats play defense on this. They need to get on offense and talk about what they're going to do with immigration in the United States. So thank you for the comments, and we'd love to hear from you this morning as well, which is a nice little segue to the Madison police, I think.
Yes, Madison police deciding that they are not, even their plainclothes officers now are going to have to wear some kind of identification, whether it's a jacket or a patch on their sleeves, to say that they are local police and not ICE. The unmarked vehicles are going to have a new placard on them displaying them as official local police vehicles, because Madison's police department wants to make sure that you know, if you are out there, that they are not ICE. They are Madison police. And yes, there still will be operations for undercover police officers in Madison. Those will have to be cleared beforehand, and then they will go out with no identifying marks on them, which, of course, some operations when you are in law enforcement have to be done undercover. And I got no problem with that. Those people put themselves in danger. They should be able to blend in when they're trying to break up some sort of crime or arrest some people.
Absolutely.
But it's troubling that we have to do that, that they have to do it. But I completely understand it. And in this time when we're hearing reports of ICE coming into northwestern Wisconsin, even though that's being debunked or trying to be debunked by a local sheriff up there.
Right.
It's good. So the police chief came out, and he, Chief Patterson of the Madison Police Department, and he went to Facebook to kind of tell people what was going on, Jamie.
Yes, and so I believe we have cut three right now, Parker. All right, let's hear what Chief Patterson had to say. What I think is interesting about this is, you know, the fact that in cities like Minneapolis, for instance, right, living there, we saw a lot of animosity towards the police for a good amount of time, just based on previous actions. What I think now is police are being hailed as something completely different in large portions of Minneapolis because they are seen as an antithesis to ICE and these raids. And I think that
it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
So I think the kind of policy that the Madison police are putting out right now and thoroughly explaining, thank you, Chief Patterson, by the way, I think that could help build trust between law enforcement and their communities and people who want to know who's approaching them. And that sort of transparency, especially right now, is vitally important throughout these communities.
I agree with that. I don't believe it's going to change anything in the long term. I think the minute ICE is pulled out of Minneapolis, people will go back to distrust based on past behaviors of the police department there. I don't think in some cases it's earned, but I think in many cases it is earned, that distrust. And I think, you know, now you're just hoping that your local police department will help.
I think we need a hero. It is 6:59 right now, Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.